Welcome to the Unified Field. I'm Chris Jorgensen.
And I'm Tom Hansen. This is our Attunement Podcast, featuring conversations with Attunement elders and practitioners from around the world, bringing you their unique perspective and experiences.
Attunement, at its core, is a spiritual practice that recognizes the divinity inherent in all living things, and in particular, the special quality of consciousness that we have as human beings that allow us to be intentional creators on Earth.
We hope you enjoy these conversations and that they deepen your own experience of attunement in your life and in the larger world.
Our first podcast is a conversation in July 2016 with Diana DeWinton. Diana is an active attunement practitioner in the Loveland, Colorado area. While most of her attunement work is one-on-one, she does work with groups and animals from time to time. Diana is the daughter of the late Roger DeWinton, teacher, mentor, and friend to many attunement practitioners around the world. I've known Diana for the last 50-plus years. Diana has an accounting degree from Colorado State University and has a deep love for music. So without further ado, here's our conversation with Diana DeWinton.
Great. Certainly wonderful to be with you all via this podcast. And it's really wonderful to have Diana DeWinton with us to share some of her experiences. And Diana, just to get us started, I thought we could look at together something of your first experience with attunement, probably some years ago now. But I know for me and probably for you that was a very impressionable attunement experience. So can you share something of that with us?
I'd be delighted to, Chris. Thank you for asking. Well, as you said, my first experience with attunement was at a fairly young age. I'd guess maybe about the age of 5 or 6. I'd like to introduce, first of all, my father, Roger DeWinton, because he was the first, he gave me my first attunement. And we as children used to spend time with my father each evening before going to bed. And part of the ritual included playing some very lovely music in the background, mostly classical. And he'd read us a children's story. And then we'd curl up and get under the covers and go to sleep. And just as we were preparing to go to sleep, he would stand at the foot of my sister's bed and then my bed and share attunements while the music was playing softly in the background. So that really set something, I think, for both my sister Dallas and myself. Beautiful beginning in our lives as far as a place of stillness, of security, of safety, of peace, quiet, and so on, and the feeling of home and family, all these beautiful qualities that children, when they grow up in that kind of a way, their lives shape in a much more solid way. So that would be my remembrance of my first attunement.
Diana, do you remember the first time that you shared attunement with another person? What was that like?
I'm trying to remember when that was. I guess it was in my attunement was just around me all the time. It's sort of part of just natural living, I'd say. So I can't remember except maybe with playing with my friends here in the intentional community I live in. We would, you know, pretend to be adults and share attunements with one another as children. So there was sort of that innocent experimenting and playing with attunement that just was kind of natural to living, because we all had attunements, you know, once a week or whatever. So I think that was, you know, children mimic their parents and their friends and their adult friends. So I think that was what I would say is my first experience.
That's really lovely to grow up in that. You're probably one of a handful of people, just, you know, numerically, who actually got to grow up in that environment where, particularly with attunement, and you were probably aware of yourself at a very early age as primarily a spiritual being, and
yes,
that's
I'd
also
say so.
Pretty rare.
Yeah.
I think that was a, I agree, Tom. That's a terrific blessing to have that start. You were very blessed, and I really delighted you can share that with us. And thinking of your father, he was a mentor and a teacher to myself and others, and left quite a legacy that now fills the attunement world. I was wondering, he's been gone for a few years now, and some of the newer folks who are touching into attunement and what it's about probably don't know much about Roger. I was wondering if you would be willing to share a story or two about attunement and your dad.
Yes, I'd be delighted to. Maybe I could start back at his early, how he got into attunement, because that for me was just, again, part of my natural childhood experience. But my mother had a serious illness. She had cancer. And my dad had been searching as a young man anyway for something more. He'd been associated with a Christian church. And he, since his boyhood, because his father was a minister, and he knew from what he knew of in his life that the church didn't seem to have an answer. And then he took my mom to a very fine clinic, the Mayo Clinic in New York, and there was no answer there either. They said the cancer had spread, and there was nothing further they could do except keep her comfortable. And so Dad really, when my mother's illness came about, he really started searching. I think prior to that, he had been sort of searching, but this put a focus on his search. And he ran into a man by the name of Conrad O'Brien French, who later introduced him to both Martin Cecil and Lloyd Arthur Meeker, or Yoronda was his pen name. And in the years of prior to my mom's passing, it was agreed between Martin and Yoronda that Martin would be the one to teach my dad about attunement, because he was very interested in finding a way to assist my mother, whether or not she'd be live. That wasn't so much the goal, but to provide something of stability and assistance. So it was agreed that Martin would train my father, and the training in those days, because there wasn't internet and things of today, he wrote letters of queries and questions to Martin, and Martin would reply short letters, because Martin himself had a very full life managing a huge ranch in the interior of British Columbia. So my dad would get a three-sentence letter back from Martin, and he'd devour it as he learned what attunement was. And quietly working in my mom's pattern, he didn't have anybody next to him to ask questions except through these precious letters that he received. And so he learned to develop his own, shall we say, internal connection with Source, with God, whatever you wish to call it, Spirit, that deepened and deepened as he went along. I think that it was probably doing it so much solo in those early days in the 1950s, was something that did him in good stead over his lifetime. Because as he imparted attunement to others that he trained in the years going forward, I think that was an underlying foundation that provided him tools, shall we say, to impart the depth of attunement to people. So that's the first story I can think of, but basically, he did a lot of on-the-job training in those early days.
Yes, yes.
There was one other story I'd love to share with you that's kind of fun. In our community, he used to work with the women who were going to give birth to babies. And we had a natural childbirth program that we worked with, and the women very much did all the exercises. And my father would give attunements to the women regularly as they progressed through that nine-month cycle. So there was a beautiful connection. We had a wonderful doctor in Loveland, Colorado, that just, he was a general practitioner. And Dr. Brown and my father had a very lovely connection, and there was an ease Dr. Brown had with regard to attunements. In the 1950s and early 1960s, there wasn't much openness in the medical field to alternatives. Anyway, as time progressed, he would assist with the husband just going to the hospital when it was time for the baby to be born. And my dad and the husband would sit out in the waiting room while the doctors and nurses and the mother were going through the birth process. Well, one day, unexpectedly, Dr. Brown comes out of the delivery room. There's one of the women having her baby, and he shouts to the nurse very strongly. He says, "Gown up, Dr. DeWinton." And of course, my father wasn't a medical doctor, but Dr. Brown had to impress.
Yeah, that's great.
The nurse that he wanted Dr. DeWinton in the delivery room. Well, the nurse really sort of bucked that idea, and so Dr. Brown gave the order again, "Gown up, Dr. DeWinton," and finally my father was gowned up and brought into the delivery room, and of course the idea was, of course, men would faint or fall apart or get excited or something and distract during a crucial time during the delivery. But of course, nothing of that happened. And from then on, Dr. DeWinton was invited to come into every delivery room after
wow.
that.
Wow, and that's that was quite a breakthrough.
Yeah, it was quite a breakthrough. So, you know, there were things that were rather magical in earlier days. I'd like to mention, too, I referenced it earlier, that my father, in latter years, had a wonderful experience with training many people who came to know about him and want to learn under him. And he created this thing called 3 or 4 day intensives, in which he spent one-on-one time with an individual as they learned about attunement. And I can remember talking with a couple of friends who were working with him on these, and they'd come up and have dinner with me, and I can remember a couple of them being very concerned. "We're not getting to any technique here. We haven't even started sharing an attunement, and this is the third of the fourth days." And I'd smile and say, "Just give him time. He'll get to it." But what he always wanted to do was provide the spiritual foundation that was the underlying purpose of attunement. First of all, the important thing being the connection with spirit. That is the foundation. It's not, attunement isn't just to patch a person up, but to allow that individual to have the depth of experience with spirit. And therefore, that is the purpose of attunement, and the purpose in life in general is the grounding in this spirit, so that what is of spirit is expressed in everyday living, in a healing practice such as attunement. But that is the reason why we're here on earth, is to express with clarity the spirit in day-to-day living. So I hope I've given you a bit of a picture of who he was. And I would want to mention one other thing with regard to these intensives, and that is often his wife Dorothy would come and join him with the individual, or and often get into conversation and so on. And towards the end of the intensive, of course, they would get into working with the individual with attunement technique. But the foundation, of course, first of all, was the, like the iceberg, 9/10 of the iceberg is sitting underneath the water. 9/10 of attunement is spirit,
mm-hmm.
the expression thereof.
Yes, so much of that resonates with me, Diana. As I mentioned before we started this conversation, that I got to participate in a 4-day intensive, and I had that exact experience. The very first thing, I was quite surprised to walk into that intensive. The first day in Roger, he said, okay, you're going to come into this room with me. I'm going to lie on the table, and you're going to share attunement with me. That was the very first thing, was
mm-hmm.
his ability to kind of perceive through that where you were in the process of your own spiritual commitment and development. He was one of the most perceptive men that I ever met in that way. And something else that you said about when he first started with Martin really caught my attention, because those three sentence letters from Martin were all he had. And Chris has mentioned a number of times that when he was studying attunement under Roger, there were no books, there were no websites, certainly, at that time. There was nothing except you and your mentor, and you learned by being there with them. And Roger didn't even have that. He only had three sentences on a piece of paper. I mean, we're fortunate these days to have books. Chris has written quite a number of them, and other people have. There's a lot more resources now, but back then, you either did it all on your own or you didn't do it. So,
right.
I think, yeah.
Right. That's a very good thought. Thank you.
Yeah.
I just jump in here and say we've got a few more minutes, and I wanted to touch base with what you're doing today with attunement, Diana. I know that. You still do one-on-one attunement, and I understand you work with animals and some other things. So can you take a couple of minutes here and tell us what your present experience with attunement is?
Sure. Yes, I do attunements almost every day, actually, 3 or 4 at least a day. And I find some of the attunements I give are to people who come for conferences and various types of experiences where I live here. And I have a one-shot time with them. And that's a very interesting thing, to introduce attunement and share one with a person, and you're likely never to see them again. And I like that kind of work, too. Sort of you do something in the moment, take advantage of where the person is at, and share that attunement. And then I share attunements, as I said, with people in our community who've been around attunement for many years. So there's those two extremes in one way. One other thing I do is I share long-distance attunement, and that's something else my father did a lot of, is work with people, say, across the world. Someone calls in and says, I'm having a surgery on next Tuesday at 7:30 in the morning. One gets up and prepares with the person. One's aware of what the surgery is about, and sits and spends time with that person. Maybe not through a 2-3 hour attunement or a surgery, all the time through that time. But one starts with the attunement, gets well established, includes the doctors and the attendants and the family of the person, and enfolds the whole atmosphere, then works specifically in the pattern that's being worked with. So there's quite a range here of long-distance attunement for anything. It could be a surgery, as I say. It could be just a connection with a person that wants to join in, and so on. So Then you mentioned animals, Chris, and yes, I've had some rather delightful experiences with a horse who had a serious condition called canker underneath one of its hoofs. And over a short period of time, a couple months, we were able to draw that rather angry thing. It was called canker, and it was sort of a very raw, inflamed situation. And over a period of time, I just could feel that this condition was gradually getting smaller and smaller, though I didn't go and pick up the hoof because I didn't want to get kicked. But we had some other horses that were with this particular horse, and they'd come around and gather around and caulk exactly the same hoof I was working on. So there was that sweet connection, the other animals almost like providing support for the one who had the condition. And when it came time for there was going to be surgery to take the canker out, when the doctor, the veterinarian, lifted up the foot to check it, he kept searching for it and finally found a tiny, tiny little place where it was, and just with a knife he lifted it out, and there was no need for surgery. And it was quite a beautiful experience seeing, of course, the immediate connection with the animal, because there's no fear and there's no other things. They don't have the capacity of mind the way we do, but they certainly have other capacity to connect with, and one feels the magic of being a human being working with an animal and the animal working with the human being. It's beautiful. And then I've mentioned in one of our teleconferences in the past with IAP, working with Max the bull. I'm still working with him. He's a dear friend, and and he comes up and he comes close, and he'll stay as long as he wants to. Again, given the intensity of the incurrent, I have learned that working with animals, you learn to back off and, you know, sense when the current may be a little too strong, especially with smaller animals. They work at almost a high rate. Their metabolism is perhaps higher in some cases. And one just has to find out how to meet and match what the animal needs as far as the intensity of the attunement current. I've worked with cats and I've worked with dogs, and birds are delightful. They're just, you know, gentle, sweet, high-moving creatures. But also I would mention the monthly IAP meetings. I certainly enjoy working with the local Colorado area group of friends that we get together with Joseph Antel and spend some time considering so many different things. And as a group of friends, often something like the weather will be a subject that we will discuss over a potluck dinner and then share attunements together. And the blessing of friends together collectively is another thing that's just priceless in my experience anyway.
You're very blessed to have such a wonderful community, attunement community there. And
Tom, if I may, I just wanted to acknowledge the work that your father, Roger, and his wife, Dorothy, did and provided for so many people around the world relative to long distance. I know their phone rang morning, noon, night, it could be any time, and it was somebody with a request. And I've spent many hours with your dad in attunement. I recall one time he and Dorothy were visiting us in Indiana, where Don and I live. And we just watched the news, we're ready to go to bed, and the phone rings. And someone in the wilderness of South Africa had been bitten by a very poisonous snake. and they were airlifting this person to the hospital, and somebody got a hold of Roger, and the women were going to bed. So Roger turned to me and said, "Let's work with this." And he sat in a chair, my lazy boy chair, and picked up the pattern of this person. And he said, you hold my cervicals here behind me. And that's where we sat for several hours. And early in the morning, sun's coming up, he finally moved and he said, "Well, there, I think things are going to be okay. And we can go to bed now." And we did. Later in the day, we found out the man had pulled through and he's still alive to this day. And but just a remarkable gift. And what a blessing Roger and Dorothy were to the world in that way. So just a comment about that.
Thank you. I think one of the things he always would say is stay with it till the point of sensing all clear. And
yes,
that's
right.
A beautiful example of that. He did that with, I remember a phone call coming in, like you say, long distance. There was a woman in the midst of a heart attack, and she was at the hospital, and the family called, and the doctors needed to operate in the situation, and there were updating phone calls that came in throughout the surgery. And then there was a final one where he talked to one of the family members, and they told a comment that the doctor said that while they were operating, they could see the heart healing. And so, I mean, that's another thing where you stay with it. You stay in the cycle of the attunement till the process is completed. And wonders can happen.
And they do. The most profound thing that I learned from Roger in my short time with him was when he said to me, "The attunement begins the moment the situation comes into your awareness. It doesn't begin when you finally get to walk over to the couch and sit down and you know, hold your hands out. The attunement begins the moment you become aware of it." And I've never forgotten that. It was such a kind of a revelation about where the real attunement comes from. It doesn't come from the act of doing anything. It comes from the proper use of consciousness, the right use of consciousness. So right. So attunement is a large part of your life right now, as it sounds like. How do people find you? How do people come to you for their attunements?
It's by word of mouth, and also by those who live here in the community I live in, and I just had a friend call from Texas yesterday, and another one from Maine a few days ago. They'll bring their friends to consciousness, or a friend has had something happening in their world, and they'll be like the surrogate for the person who's having a situation. And this is something also my father worked with, is that he used to use the example in the Bible of the centurion who would talk to Jesus about his servant. Just think about him, just touch me and my servant will be healed. And this is often the case too. So there's the ripples out from just one person, and the connections of love and trust and all of these things that we know to be foundational spirits to guide the attunement process.
Well, it sounds like you're following in your dad's footsteps. I mean, when I listen to you talk about your attunement service and the long distance work and all of the situations that come to you, do you feel like you're doing that?
It seems
in a way?
Be that way. I didn't actually start into attunements as specifically until about 8 or 9 years ago. I was doing other things, you know, daily work and so on, and wasn't into attunements until about 8 or 9 years ago. And then when I started thinking about it, it seemed a very natural step. Yeah, I think it's very familiar. So somehow I've learned under Roger. I never took one of his intensives, but I was there sort of around all the time in day-to-day life as he worked with many, many people. I had the privilege of seeing him firsthand working.
Yes, and here you are kind of continuing his spirit. I think that's wonderful.
I would just say I'm very appreciative of what you're doing, Diana, joining others I know around the planet now who are providing this current of unfoldment for the world. Tom, by the way, in the early days of our attunement work here in Kansas City, made a license plate. It said, "Share attunement, bless the world." And it's on my license, it's around my license plate on my car. So you're doing that. And I really want to honor that and appreciate so much your being willing to share with us your experience of attunement and some of the history and stories of your dad. This has been wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom. And it's been a privilege to speak to the two of you and to share the, you know, you don't realize you've lived all these things and seen them all, and they're just sort of naturally a part of your world. And it's fun to share them with folks who understand and know, like you two do, you know, because you've experienced it too.
All right. Well, it's been wonderful to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.